Yeah, that's good stuff. Praise God. So that is a brief look at our week in Chicago with our junior high students. I'm going to have them come up now, and they're going to share a little bit with you. For those of you that are unaware, we take a trip to Chicago every other year with our junior high students, and we serve here in our city. And it brings us into the inner city. It brings us to the north side. It brought us to our backyard here at Bethel Community Church. So we have an awesome opportunity to show the love of Christ to so many people here in the city. So I'm going to have Tanner go first, and he's going to share about his experience down at Englewood. And he's got the shirt on today, which I really like. So this is the shirt that they sell to raise money for their ministry. So go ahead, Tanner.
Okay, so we went to Englewood 2 days on the Chicago trip. We served at Englewood Family Outreach. That was the site. And Daniel, who basically ran the thing, had us go on prayer walks both days. The first day we went on the prayer walk, it was kind of just around the block on the site we were serving. And we got to like this place, and it had like memorial candles for, at first we thought it was somebody might have gotten killed there. So we all went around it. We prayed for the family and that like it would be okay. And we went back to the place and we asked Daniel what would have happened. And he said he didn't really know what actually happened. And the second day we went on the prayer walk, we kind of got to go more into Englewood. And before we went on the prayer walk, Daniel told us about how we're probably going to see houses with like red X's on them. And that meant that it was vacant, of like the house was empty because of like nobody was living in it. So and it was owned by the city, so like people, like homeless people could have moved into it, and it could be used for like drug deals or maybe prostitution. And we saw, so on the same street that we were walking down on the prayer walk, we saw two other buildings. They were like churches, and they were probably the nicer buildings on that street, and they were still really run down and broken. And it's like really crazy for me to think that like not even that far away is like the city of Chicago. It's like downtown. And because once you get off the highway, or you're like right at Englewood, and it's like kind of crazy, just like the poverty from each of it and like the distance of it.
Great, thank you. Finn, he comes down out of breath because he's doing the PowerPoint up there, and he ran down here and he's ready to share. It's a nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you. Hi. On Tuesday and Wednesday of the trip, we went to Cornerstone Christian Ministry, which takes in homeless families and gives them food, clothes, and a place to stay. And when we had lunch there on Tuesday, which was the first day that we came, we saw a bunch of men, women, and children, and a lot of them, that really made me sad that there were so many of them, and a lot of them were single women with at least two children, and that must have been really hard for them to take care of these children, because children are really expensive to raise, and and they have to do it with little income, no food, and not a lot of clothes. And even though all of that must have been going on with a lot of these people, I saw a lot of smiles, and even though these people barely had anything, they were happy with whatever was given to them. And that made me think about what I have and how I take stuff for granted. And now I can't really take anything for granted, anything that I get, anything that I have, because I know that one day that could all be gone. And a lot of people, they don't have any of that stuff. And I treat people with respect because I could never know what could be happening outside of my contact with them. And I see the world in a different light.
Great. This was a big trip for Finn. Additionally, it was a big trip for his brother when he went out a couple years ago, which was awesome. Abby Mason, as we like to call her, the Mason Jar.
So this summer, I had the privilege of going on Chicago trip with Jam. While there, I had the opportunity to serve, along with others, at Cornerstone, where we made and served food for people like from around the neighborhood. It was really such a humbling, perspective-changing experience, meeting those different families and just sitting down and talking to them, understanding that we weren't different from them in any way at all. This point was really driven home for me when I met Michaela and Chevelle at Englewood Family Outreach. These girls were the two sweetest, most energetic girls I've ever met, and the 2 days we were there, they hung out and played with me like all day, and I learned two really cool things. Michaela absolutely loves Blue Gatorade and giving hugs, just like me, and Chevelle grew up as the protector, always looking out for her little sister, which I thought was really neat. They both honestly blessed my life and encouraged me a lot that week, and I'm so grateful for the chance to have gone on that trip.
Great, thanks, guys. I have something briefly to share. This is from Anna Penner, who couldn't be with us today, and it says this: Chicago trip was a much-needed eye-opener for me. When we went to Englewood Family Outreach, we were able to hang out with a bunch of kids from around the neighborhood. One kid that I talked to was named Ivan, and he was 10 years old. We made up obstacle courses around the jungle gym and looked for prizes that were really just air. At one point, while we were running around, a folding knife fell out of his pocket. He put it back and explained to me that someone had stolen his bike the other day, and his mom wanted him to carry it around just in case. We kept playing, and after we finished an obstacle course, Ivan told me we had reached the golden treasure chest. He said it was filled with whatever you wanted to be filled with. We sat down at the bench, and I asked him what would have been in his golden treasure chest. He told me he wanted some new chains, a bike, a bunch of money, and then he asked what I would have wanted, and I really couldn't think of anything, so I said world peace. Ivan then responded with, "What's that?" And my heart dropped. I guess world peace isn't something a kid in Englewood could imagine that well. I told him that when I was, when it was there, there was no violence and sickness, where he didn't have to carry a knife around to be safe. Kind of like heaven, except without the awesome God part. Then Ivan asked me how you get to heaven, and since Porter and I were sitting there together, we tag-teamed through the gospel, and at the end, Ivan told us that he believed all that stuff, and we continued to play around the yard. It was really sad to realize how tough kids have to be at such a young age. Ivan really was just a 10-year-old. Talking to him was one of the best parts of the trip for me, and I hope someday that I might get to see him again. So you hear a lot from our students when we go on a Chicago trip about Englewood. That's a very, very impactful neighborhood for them, as well as Cornerstone Ministries when we go there. So a couple things that I would share with you about how our students connected with people. Often they've wondered, how do we connect with somebody who lives in such poverty and who lives in an area of the world where they live with tons of other people in a homeless shelter? That's foreign to our students, and it's foreign to be coming from such a low-income background. And the gentleman from Englewood Family Outreach, who we partnered with for VBS, by the way, raising all that money, so great job with that. He described poverty as this: it's people that are in poverty define it through their relationships, broken homes, broken families, no fathers, things like that. And he said the way that we can relate to anybody on the planet is through brokenness. Hopefully we don't have a broken relationship with God, but everyone at one time has a broken relationship with God. And we have a broken relationship with this world that he created for us to tend and mend to, but unfortunately we kind of screwed that up. We have a broken relationship with the other people in our community and with our community itself. So that's a way that our students can interact with people that are from a different economic background than them. Additionally, when we serve at Cornerstone, it's really an eye-opening thing for me as a leader to see our students. And I watch them. I just watch body language. I watch the way they respond, the things that they say. And we see them serve at a food pantry, in a soup kitchen. And here comes the first group of people, and it's a mom with like 5 kids. And they're their age, right? And now there are kids that they're identifying with that live in homelessness and live in poverty. And in our training, we covered that. We talked about that most homelessness in the city of Chicago are homeless youth and homeless families. And so that was really big and impactful for them. One day that I have to highlight was the Thursday that we served in Chicago, and we came back here to Bethel Community Church. And we served at Oriole Park, and we served at Jewel, of all places, in the parking lot, cleaning up garbage, picking up over 300 cigarette butts. And people would come up to our students and say, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "Because this is our community, and we love our community, and we want to show the love of Christ to people." We served here in this building, cleaning some much-needed things that needed to be cleaned and organized and taken care of. But it's a reminder for our students, and it's a reminder for us all, that there's missions work to be done everywhere. There's missions work that has to happen here in downtown Chicago, here at 7601 West Foster and our surrounding areas. And then there's missions work that has to be done like Powerhouse did in Florida. So Finn is going to roll that video for you to see what Powerhouse did in Florida this year.
That gives you a little flavor of our week. Shout out to May Rill, who made that video. She's somewhere here. Good job compiling all that together. This is a little bit of the week, what it looked like. We got them ready in the morning to go to job sites all over the island. It's a small town field. It's very rural on Pine Island. And so when 40-some high school students show up and leaders from Chicago, it gets attention of the island to the point where there's newspaper articles written about us coming down. And after we left, they talked about everything that we did. And so as we went out, it was like, here comes the white van brigade, you know, going through the island. And people knew and saw what we were doing as we're out doing the demolding, as you saw, of the trailers or painting them. We worked at the school across the street from the church there that they've been doing a ton of outreach there. We were at some other houses and stuff. You'll hear more stories about that in a second. And then at night, we put on a VBS. A lot of the kids that we had been with during the day and families we had been ministering to during the day, they would be out at night. The church kids, outreach, they would send the vans out to bring a bunch of kids in from a neighborhood, and we got to share the gospel and talk about who Jesus is to us. So it was exhausting and tiring, but so amazing to see God at work. I want to invite the students up. We have some who are going to share their personal testimonies of how they saw God at work in their life and through the opportunities that God gave them this week in Pine Island. And so we hope you are encouraged by those testimonies now.
Okay, so my name is Martha, and in Florida, I had the pleasure of working for an 87-year-old woman named Fran, Mary Frances Popple, or as we grew to call her, Franma. We painted the house and sewing cottage of an incredible artist. On our first day working there, after being in the hot sun for 2 or 3 hours, painting and cleaning, we hear a voice, a small little southern-sounding woman calling out, "I made y'all some brownies!" Now, mind you, the second we heard that we were going to be with an older woman, we were already contemplating about how sweet she would be if we would get gifts from her, and how we might get a fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies. Brownies made last night are a pretty close second to those. But all jokes aside, the second I met her, I knew that it would be hard to say goodbye. She made us feel as comfortable as she could with rags, shade, drinks, an air-conditioned house, and just her company to talk to on breaks, which tended to stretch out a little long because she never knew how to stop talking, but it was very sweet. Fran is a gift from God and helped me do things, hear things, and experience things that I've never seen or heard before. It was so fulfilling and rewarding to be working for someone who couldn't do things themselves. I found that the strength to work in the heat and sun a little bit more, even when I felt like so exhausted. And I even found joy in working with my friends and just working for this kind woman. And I wouldn't have been able to experience all of that without the help of God. And I just saw that this week so way more than I ever have in my life before. And I wouldn't have been able to experience that without this trip. So.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin, and on the Pine Island trip, I saw God work in a lot of ways through our group down there. Specifically, one thing that happened really stuck out to me. Dora Rivera, who is one of our graduated seniors, made it possible for every one of us to get an encouraging note from someone every day that week. She organized it so that each of us had a chance to write a note to someone different each day. It was awesome because we all had the opportunity to encourage each other and become even more unified as a group. I think that it's really cool how God worked through Dora and all of us through these notes, allowing us to build each other up and encourage each other throughout the week. God helped us to accomplish so much that week, and I'm so thankful to have been a part of it.
Down in Florida, God was able to show me the power of the body of Christ when we come together to serve him. I saw him working through the people of Pine Island who gave up time at work and their homes to accommodate us, people who dedicate their lives to making a difference and spreading the gospel within their community. Thinking about Powerhouse specifically, I saw how our group of teenagers were able to do amazing things for God's purpose in Pine Island, but also in each other's lives. The support and love that came out of that week was incredible, and I will never forget it. After we came back, I thought of the impact we left on that community in just a week and how much more we can do in our own city throughout the year. This has been challenging me to take more opportunities to be bold in my relationship with Christ, but also in how I connect with the people of this church.
Hi, I'm Sam, and Pine Island was a great trip. I saw God work in a lot of amazing ways. I was a mascot for the VBS. I was a gorilla. I dressed up and I ran around on all fours and gave kids high fives and let them pet me. God also gave me the opportunity to befriend a kid named Ethan. He walked up to my group when we were painting a trailer and asked if he could help out. We handed him a brush, and he helped out for the next 3 days. He's 11. Only God can make an 11-year-old want to help a group of strangers paint a trailer for 3 days. God also gave me and another student, Wyatt, the chance to witness to Ethan. Thank you.
Sam went above and beyond with the whole mascot thing. We're like, hey, Sam, could you do it for, like, the opening and closing session? And he's like, sure. And then, like, he wore it for hours on end. And he's like, dude, it's hot out here. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm good. So Sam was great with that.
My name is Elena. So when we were breaking up into our work sites, me and around 4 or 5 other people went to the school. It was really cool. We were there for Monday through Thursday. We went back to the church on Friday. And one thing that I got from it was the last day that we were there, the principal, who was also a Christian, gave our whole group flashlights that had the school name and the school address on it. And I put it on my desk in my room, and whenever I see it, I remember, like, the work that my group and I did there. And it reminds me that, like, I can still do work here. It might not be the same thing that we did there with landscaping, but I can still do work through my school and even through, like, just youth group. So God gave me strength through a lot this week. One of the main things that he gave me strength with was the bugs. I get really bad allergic reaction to bug bites, and for some reason, I attract a bunch of bugs. So for, like, the first day, I didn't have any bug bites, and then right as we started our work site, just all of them came. I think by the end of the week, one of my friends counted, and I think I had over 300 bug bites. Yeah, so God gave me strength there with just, like, remembering, like, even though, like, I might be in pain, like, this is still for him. It's, like, temporary. Like, what I'm doing is going to be, like, permanent. One other thing that God gave me strength through was dealing with everyone. don't get me wrong. I love everyone in our group. They're all my family. But when I'm with the same people every single day, all day, for more than 2 to 3 days, I get sick of them. So it was, yeah. God just gave me the strength whenever I was feeling weak and whenever I just needed alone time. God just gave me that strength. I always knew I could, like, go to a leader and be like, hey, can I have, like, 5 minutes to myself? I like, knew I could do that, which it was really nice. I always got the strength I needed from him through numerous ways.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joseph Martinez. On the Pine Island trip, I got the awesome opportunity to start a guys' Bible study that was held each morning with the help of Tony Viola. In searching for the first passage that we would discuss, I flipped randomly through my Bible and eventually came to Psalm 31. In the beginning, it's a mixture of prayers and praise, but somewhere in the middle, David is talking about how distressed he is and all that he's going through. I mean, he is so distressed that he is physically ill and he thinks he might actually die. He says his soul and his body are wasting away. And yet, he says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. He thinks he might die, but he's still saying, I trust in you, my God. There are so many times that in my life, looking back, that I wish I had said those things, but I didn't, though I wish I did. Oftentimes, I go through life living with so much fear. All my life, I've been afraid of heights, performing in front of others, and I'm an introvert, so even just talking to people one-on-one can be extremely challenging for me and very awkward, let alone talking in front of big groups. But on this trip, I decided to take Psalm 31 to heart. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. And guess what? In Florida, there was a big, beautiful tree. It was a beautiful, winding tree in front of the church, and I climbed it, and I stood at the very top of it while there was, like, storms all around. It may have not been the smartest idea, but it was a really beautiful sight and just really awe-inspiring. I could see over all the buildings, and just there's this rain coming down all over, and there's thunder and distance, and it was just really beautiful. And even though I'm on the worship team here, I also played drums for the VBS down there and for the Sunday morning service, and I was not anxious, and usually I'm very anxious about that. And now I'm standing here talking with in front of a lot of people, talking about God's amazingness, and it's just a huge blessing. God showed me that fear does not have a place in our lives. He calls us to not be afraid or anxious, just to trust in Him, and Him alone. We need fear to take the back seat, or even go even further. We need to kick fear out of our car while going 65 on the highway. This chapter changed my life, and it was exactly what I needed at the time. And God knew that. I will never forget those words. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. I try to do that every day now. The Lord preserves the faithful, and He gave me the chance to see what it would look like to be just that. These trips, these mission trips, are incredibly important to all of us, not just to the people down there and to the lives of those people, but also to us and, individually in our lives, in our worldviews, in our relationship with God. So I just thank you all for just always supporting us with that and giving us the chance to go on these trips. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Naomi. I was going to wear some a pair of shorts that had some paint on them, but like my mom would have probably killed me. So just, you know, for the feel of Pine Island. But a couple weeks before we went on Pine Island, I broke my finger. And it was still, you know, I was still in pain and it was still really bad, like now. And so I was thinking I was going to be useless and helpless and I would just sit around and watch all of them work, which would have been really cool, though. But I really got to do a lot. And our group was kind of the one, they just like every day they would just kind of throw stuff at us and be like, here you go. But it was really fun and I learned a lot. And yeah, it was cool.
I am Kendra. This is really okay. Hi, I'm Kendra. Coming onto this trip, I was not sure if I was ready. I had a lot of stuff going on. I wasn't sure if I was ready to serve God or just be with kids. But as we were driving to the airport and just being on the plane, I had Isaiah 43:2 going through my mind. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. I also had Isaiah 4:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. During the VBS, I was a crew leader. And as we got closer to the first night of VBS, I was excited about being a crew leader, but I also wasn't sure if I was ready to lead the kids through the night. But God gave me the strength and the courage I needed to get through the night. And throughout the trip, God had me exactly where He wanted me. Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maylin Rill. Today I'll be sharing with you about my very first mission trip. I'll be sharing with you what I did and how I saw God work that week. But before I start, I want to say thank you to Anna Walton, Mr. and Mrs. Koopman, and Tom Maddock for sponsoring me to go on this trip. And thank you to those of you who are praying for all of us. Before we went on this trip, we all had training and organizing to do. In training, the leaders told us we will be working around the island during the day, and at night we will be running and serving VBS at the church. During the day, I worked at the trailer park with Mark Shoemaker and a few other students. My group removed mold and painted the trailer. I spent most of my time painting and trimming. One of the cool things about working at the trailer park was as the week went on, some of the kids who went to VBS came out and hung out with us. One day, three girls and three boys came out and hung out with us while we were working. Two of the boys ended up painting with us. It was pretty cool to see them wanting to help out. It was cool to see that they were comfortable enough to come out and just to talk and be around us, even though they have only known us for 3 days. The sad thing about watching them walk out of their home was knowing that where they had to live. The trailer park is not exactly the nicest or the cleanest place to be. No doubt that it was a God moment when they came out to be with us. At night, I was the photographer and the video maker for VBS. I love taking photos. I love being the photographer for VBS because I was able to be a part of each age group. I was able to hang out with every kid and get to know a little bit about them. The first night of VBS, the kids were all confused as why I kept taking pictures of them. and they would all just hide from the camera. I made a video every night so they can watch what they did the night before. After watching the video on Monday, after watching Monday night's video on Tuesday, the kids were no longer camera shy. The next thing I knew, they weren't just asking me to take pictures of them. They were also asking me to put them in the videos, which I did to make each child feel special. I love taking pictures and being able to capture every moment of the kids and the students together. At night, after everything was over, I went to bed, and I would look through all the pictures and see what God captured on the camera that day through me. I was able to see the joy that God brought all the children and the students that day. Thank you.
We do thank you so much for the support. You guys can be seated. Good job. Thank you. The support, the prayer, obviously financially, in so many ways, that matters so much. Hopefully you got a flavor of the week a little bit, hearing from Jam and Powerhouse. Just how many ways that God used them is remarkable. And hearing the different gifting to each of them and the way that that's able to be expressed and used by God for the leaders is every single time amazing and incredible to watch. The VBS for Pine Island, the leaders just back away for that part and occasionally eat ice cream. And the students, they lead, they're leading the games and the messages and all those things. It's really amazing, and that's a testimony to how great our God is, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Pastor Jim, pastor of First Baptist Church of Pine Island, the one that we went and partnered with, him and his daughter and another one of their students actually had a flight to come up here. They wanted to share with Bethel their gratitude, and it got canceled. So that's a major bummer, but one of the things they were going to say is that from our week down there, there's a lot that has happened. Newspaper article that went out to the whole island that just bluntly said why we are down there and what we are looking to do and pointing to Christ in that. But also a Spanish church has been planted in the, it's called the Palms. It's the trailer park that we did a bunch of work in that week. And so they had their first Sunday after that week, and there was 11 people that showed up to it. And there was a Spanish-speaking pastor who was there and ministering. He was with us that week. So cool stuff like that, right? We come back here, and God keeps doing stuff there. God works in our hearts, and we hopefully live that out here. So, everyone, look at the time. Let's just be all on the same page here. This is not your normal sermon, so do not look at the outline and be like, oh, boy, what is about to happen? What have they done to us? This is brief, but I want you to come with us because really the first part of the sermon has just been preached, and that is the testimonies from our students. That is the first part, and you're going to see how it comes together. As we were talking, praying, thinking about what we wanted to share, we had to come back to a passage that we in student ministry talk about often. It's one of the things that we looked at for both trips before we went on our summer trips, to focus on this truth. The truth is this, is when we are connected to Jesus, He will do amazing things. He will grow fruit in our life that we cannot grow ourselves. Apart from God, we can do nothing. We just focus on that a lot before the trip because we believe that once we get down, we can't demold and paint trailers in really hot Florida weather in July with the heart that God wants us to apart from abiding in Christ. We don't think we can grow fruit in our life and go down there and all of a sudden be loving people that we need to be and loving these people, just flip that switch right on because we're on a mission trip. We don't believe that we can do that apart from Christ. We can't enjoy His presence without His help. As you heard Joseph and others talk about these moments that they experienced with God, we can't have good attitudes all week. We can't grow in our relationship with God. We can't help other people. We can't be the loving people we need to be because Scripture tells us that when you're connected with Christ, that's where the fruit is. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. So a majority of the message has been given today because you've seen the fruit. In the testimonies that you heard today, you heard the fruit of what God did in us and through us. And that's all because of the abiding and connecting to the vine. Now, as we close, let's just show you where we get that and show you about that truth of being connected to Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to show you what it is about this fruit that we have experienced, we've tasted and we've seen and we've enjoyed on our trips. I'm going to start in verse 4 of John 15. It says this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." There's a lot of repetition in those verses, isn't there? There's a ton of repetition, and if you look at it, there's one verse that really jumps out, and it's this word, abide. This word, abide, means to remain or to stay. It's to be connected. It's a close sharing. It's really this act of submission that we are told to partake in with Jesus. Every day to be submitting to the fact that we can't supply for ourselves. Only he can supply and bring fruit and good things. We're going to talk about fruit in a minute, but bring those good things into our life. So he will be my source of strength when I'm tired. He will be my place of peace when anxiety runs wild. He will be my purpose when the world calls me for success the way that they define it. His commands will be the pursuit of my heart, not the flesh that I battle away. It means spending time with him and having this closeness and this connection daily with him. It's ultimately a place of dependency on Jesus instead of yourself. It could have been tempting for any of our students to be like, you know what, I'm a really hard worker. I'm actually really strong. I'm really capable. And just to go in and be like, I got this. But we kept coming back. No, we want to be dependent on nourishment from God. There's so many distractions that can keep us from this dependency on God, this dependency on Jesus in the vine. There's so many distractions. There's work. It's like, listen, I have my things I have to do. I have this to-do list. There's all these things I have to get through, and you're consumed. Your mind is busy with work. Work is so important. But that's not the place to be feeding your affirmation and feeding your purpose and feeding your goals. There's school, students. And the temptation to just work really hard and be connected to school and make that your life and everything and to be fed from that and look for the fruit of success in college and scholarships that can come from that. It's not there. It's not relationships or entertainment or leisure or hobbies or money or success. All these things are tempting and distracting, and we want to latch on to those things. But in the midst of that, this passage, Jesus says, no, just be dependent on me. I'll give you everything that you need. And to demonstrate that, he gives a picture of vine and branches, which I think is a beautiful illustration of it. And the picture is to show the dependency between vine and branches. It turns out that a branch, if you cut it off and you just put it on this stage, if we came back in here next week, it wouldn't grow anything. It would actually look withered, as the passage talks about, and it would be worthless. Some people talking about apple picking these days. Any apple pickers out there? Yeah, a couple? Yeah, right? Tis the season. Let's go. Tis the season can be used besides just Christmas. It's okay. Right? If you cut off a branch off of an apple tree months ago and you're like, and brought it to your backyard and just put it in your backyard and you're like, I can't wait to pick apples in my backyard in a couple months, tell me about that fruit that's going to show up there in your backyard. Nothing. It was not connected to the vine that was giving the nutrients, right? That's who we are. That's who all of us are. And we get distracted connecting to other things and we think we can produce this fruit. And it's like, well, what makes you think you can do that all of a sudden just on your own and connected to other things. We must make that daily decision to surrender and submit and say, no, I want to be here connected to Jesus. I want you to be feeding me. Now, I love that Jesus uses a picture of being fed. Because biblically, that's like repeated all over the place. God is really good at feeding his people. You think about manna, right, for the Israelites. And the Israelites are fed miraculously every day. Here comes the manna. It's like, thanks, God. He did a really good job for years and years and years with that, right? Or the feeding of the 5,000. It looks impossible, right? What should we do? Okay, Jesus is going to feed everyone. And then again with 4,000 people. Jesus is really good at feeding, okay? And here it's like, would you just be dependent on me to feed you what you need? Can you rest in that? And he's really good at it, and he will bring about the fruit he's promising. Look at verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. There's the repetition of that. But then it says this, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeah, but do you know who I am? Like, I'm pretty good. No, nothing. Like, do we actually believe that apart from Jesus and that connection and that abiding, that remaining, apart, we really can't do anything as a church? We got a bunch of things on the calendar for this year. That's really exciting. But apart from him, we can't do any of that, and we can't depend on any fruit. So, I mean, let's think about what that would mean, really. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Fruit doesn't come from Bible college. Sometimes, oh man, they went to Bible college. Like, fruit doesn't come from Bible college. Fruit comes from Jesus when you're abiding, when you're at Bible college. For me, my lowest spiritual year was when I was a junior at Moody. That was the worst year in my spiritual walk with Christ, I think because I was complacent and I was not abiding. The Bible would turn into a textbook, and it wasn't. Being at Bible college didn't give me fruit. I needed to abide. Fruit doesn't come because you show up at church. I'm so glad you're here, by the way. But it doesn't come from just being here. I'm so glad that there's good things said and shared, but it's not here. This is not going to bring you fruit. Fruit doesn't depend on what family you grew up in or what family you're in within the church or Christianity. That's not where fruit comes from. Fruit does not depend on where you serve in the week. Now, church gives good truth, right? And family, hopefully a foundation. We had the baby dedications last week. There's good things within all of those. And Bible college is amazing and teaches solid things, right? But none of that is the fruit that they can't give the fruit. It only comes when you're abiding with Christ. When you're remaining there daily, in and out, submitting to what he has for you. We get into a really bad place when we start depending on people or programs. Even just Bible studies in some ways and those are good things. You have to hear the fruit can come as you abide from Christ in those things. But when we start just depending on those things to bring fruit, we get into a bad place. You see verse 6, when you stop abiding, you stop bearing fruit and you wither and you're thrown into the fire. There's not that use for you. I was telling the students before the trips, guys, this starts months before we even get on a plane or in the bus to go down inner city or to Chicago, to Florida. Like, we want to be abiding and remaining and depending on God. Months, weeks, it's an everyday thing to let him do that in our life. So has it been a while for you? What have been the distractions for you, or maybe the things that you've been dependent on in your life? And if you're honest, you feel withered right now. If you're honest, you've been doing all the right things. You've been showing up here and maybe part of things or whatever, but you're like, man, where is the fruit actually? I don't see it. The passage says, he who is abiding bears much fruit. Really quick to close. What is this abiding? Just from the passage, verse 10 talks about if you keep my commandments. Obedience matters in abiding. We can't just say like, okay, God, I'm going to be connected to you. Now give me nutrients and feed me and grow me to the follower that you want me to be and the disciple you want me to be. and then to go over here and just live however we want the rest of the days. That's not the picture. We're connected. We're attached. We're not going our own way. So obedience really matters within it. Being in his word, verse 7, says, my words in you. Get to know him in scripture and allow that to be part of that connecting with the vine. Prayer, talking to him, knowing him in prayer. Someone mentioned, Joseph mentioned praying every day. Just submission and allowing him and his purposes to be lived out. That's a great prayer to pray in regards to remaining and abiding in Christ. Submission every day. You're not going rogue. You're not looking for the satisfaction other places, other people. Our leadership team has been reading a book called Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. It has really good stuff about what it looks like to abide. So if you're interested, you can pick that up. I also have 4 more copies if you want one. Come grab it from me. Second thing, what is this fruit we keep talking about? We keep kind of referring to it. Think Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things we cannot just conjure up on our own. We can't all of a sudden just wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, I'm going to be a more patient person. It starts with that connecting to the vine. The fruit is victory over sin and that you don't have to walk in that anymore, but there's newness as the vine is supplying you with who he is and the strength that is there. There's victory over sin. And it leads us to verse 11. Look at this. It says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The conclusion is it's a really good place to be. It feels good sometimes to latch ourselves and connect ourselves to other things, true or false, true. Sin is enjoyable sometimes, true or false, true. It looks like success of the world is the way to go, true. It looks, all these things look affirming in the right way. But this talks about something else. It talks about my joy being in you. Think of the Father. God overall giving joy. It is a place of satisfaction and fruit coming from it. It's a place that I want to be. Do you want to grow more? Do you want that fruit? The awesome thing of this morning, it's not something you just have to work harder for. Try harder, whatever. Start with a submission to Jesus and say, God, I need you. And remember the testimonies that you heard today. Remember the fruit that you saw from their life. Remember how God worked in their life and through them. Because all we need is one thing, and it's a sharing with Jesus. It's connecting with Jesus to remain in his vine, to abide faithfully every day, and he will bring fruit. He will do the work. The stories told today are testimonies of that truth.